This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone.
Bahumia.
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
Hard One Surefoot.
Emily Axford.
Moonshine Zab, and back at the gash and feeling like trash.
Oh, yeah. And Caldwell Tanner.
Beverly Togold the Fifth, reunited with Erlen, and it feels so weird.
Yeah. All your fault, really.
Yeah, well.
And then, of course, we've got returning guests. Siobhan Thompson.
Apple Scrumper. I hit some things, and now it's dead.
Right on.
Yeah.
And, of course, Zach Oyama.
Oh, Mavris the Unschooled. I'm covered in slime and having a real bright time.
Great run.
Got one.
Beautiful.
Count it.
All right, guys. Let's do a little recap. So last week, you guys battled the Tarrasque, during which Moonshine was able to access a worldwide fungal network of elves using the thinking cap. She spoke to Cobb and found out that the Jubilix was attacking Irondeep, then found out from Erdan that Akarot had triggered a trap to transport the entire city of Gladeholm to the middle of Asmodia. A dwarven mage sent by Cobb collected Mavris and Bev, who joined the fighters in Irondeep. Sadly, Gunther was consumed by the Jubilix there, and even sadder, Erlen was still pissed at Bev. Back in Frostwind, Moonshine was able to open a gate to the Feywild using the thinking cap, and Eladrin began pouring in. Hard One then protected the King of Frostwind by offering him the hammer, winning him the favor of the dwarves. Frustrated with trying to break the gash, Moonshine eventually set up a teleportation tree to send Eladrin to Asmodia to help. The tide of the battle was turning, but just as the Tarrasque was about to be killed, it managed to knock out Hard One, Cooter, and Balnor. But just as Balnor was about to be swallowed, Hard One was able to jump up and save him, separating the beast's jaw with ungodly strength.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where we are now. The Tarrasque is dead. The Eladrin army is pouncing on the approaching Frost Orc army. You remember they were marching towards you, looking to come in after the Hollow Body Giants did most of the dirty work, but the Eladrin are swarming them. It looks like the Orcish army isn't even going to make it.
Can we get these orcs are more intelligent, right?
Yeah, certainly.
Let's grab one.
Sweet. Moonshine.
Right? It's been a while since we've taken someone hostage, got some answers.
You guys start running off towards the orcs, but we are actually going to cut over to Irondeep.
Cool.
Because things are a little bit more dire over there at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut back to Irondeep. You guys are in this castle. Everyone has been covered in this goo that is restraining you. You guys have already seen this thing consume Gunther, who is knocked out. Red was acting very emotionally and was trying to reach in and grab Gunther and burning himself. Erlen had to pull him back and heal him. Everybody's doing okay health-wise in Irondeep, but so is the Jubilix. At the top of the round, that is Cobb and Egwene's turn. You see Egwene goes, pull! Cobb throws the potion. Egwene takes a shot and hits. That is a big 37 damage.
Yeah.
You see this potion starts to like slope right in front of the Jubilix. The arrow hits it. There's this explosion of lightning energy that lights up the whole ooze.
The trick is to accept that she's cooler than you, Cobb.
Yeah, Bev, you see as Egwene is standing up and shooting her arrows that she has all of these pouches with potions and things like that. It looks like she really took to alchemy. Moonshine at one point gave her some poison to put on her arrows, and she has thrived.
Badass. I was the scrumper to her.
You were the scrumper.
Oh, we're all touching each other's lives.
That is the Jubilix's lair action. You see it begins to bubble again and sizzle and lets out this strange green mist that fills the room. Everyone is under the effect of the contagion spell.
Even if we're immune to poison?
It is a disease, so it is not poison. So, Bev, it does not affect you, but you see everyone else around you. Let me actually see Erlen. Erlen is an NPC, so his immunities and stuff are different. He does not have immunity to disease. You see he starts, like, retching and coughing, and Red starts coughing. Cobb and Egwene look super affected. You also have the disease right now, Mavris.
Okay.
You're coughing. You're retching.
Oh, this is good. I fucking
good
hate.
Rule.
Today
good
sucks.
At the end of everybody's turn, you make constitution saving throws. If you fail three times, you get flesh rot, and that means you are susceptible to all damage. You take double damage. Every hit is a crit.
That was not a spell, though, right?
No, it was like a lair action.
Okay.
That is your turn, Mavris. You're surrounded by green mist. Everything smells like shit. There's a teen boy who thinks you're dating his friend. A bear just died in a really sad way. And you're sick.
All right, we need to clear the air in a lot of ways.
I really should ask some more questions before coming through. I'm going to aim another sunbeam at it, okay, which is concentration for a spell I've already had.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a bonus action, I'm going to use fireball with quicken spell.
Hell
at
yeah.
A fifth
yeah.
level.
So, Jesus. Yeah, beam with one hand, and then you just chuck a ball of fire at this thing.
Hell
ah,
yeah.
Just screaming.
I'm picturing
the worst
like
day ever.
A Michael Jordan silhouette of you right now, Mavris, just with like wings and like sunshine and flames coming from your hands.
As Erlen slowly shuts up.
Hey, Erlen, make a poster of this. I still have sunglasses on. Okay, so Sunbeam is 6d8.
Yikes. That's a fail. It's going to burn another legendary resistance.
28, halved to 14.
Okay.
So that's just the Sunbeam. A fifth level fireball is going to be 8d6 plus 2d6.
Jesus. 17 to pass?
That's my spell
okay,
save.
Okay, so it passes. So okay. It'll take half
can
of
I
this.
Use, can I use another 3 points to make it have disadvantage?
Yes.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
It fails. 15 okay. On that one.
Shit.
fuck, I guess it'll burn another, its last legendary resistance. It's out.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so it'll take half of this.
Okay,
fine.
Great. 45. Ooh. And then you have it to...
Okay, 22, yeah. Okay. This thing does not look as hardy...
Or hail.
Or hail. as the Tarrasque.
Does look like soup, though.
Ooh, delicious.
it is... at the end of your turn, go ahead and make a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
As you retch.
That was a nat 1.
Yikes! Okay, with a nat 1, you fail, and you begin to feel the flesh rot taking over your body. You start getting real itchy in a bad way. It's like when...
as opposed to being itchy in a good way.
Yeah.
You know how you like to be itchy sometimes?
Hey, Bev, you can't cure disease, can you?
I actually can. Don't worry about it. I have a cleansing touch I can do on you.
I gotta go to the doctor, if you know what I mean.
That is the Jubilix's turn.
You're looking flaky.
On this turn, it's going to do some acid lash attacks. You see, it swings with a big gooey appendage at Bev.
Bring it.
21 to hit.
That is my armor class, so that hits.
That hits. Yep. Okay, so first attack hits. Second attack is a nat 1. Aha. Third attack is a 22, so that's going to hit.
Mm.
Bev, that is 49 damage total.
Oh, I'm looking so hurt.
you
have like 2 hit points,
once
right?
Again, yeah.
Truly
that good
so
berry
hurt.
Is propping you up.
Thank you, Cooter. Can you look at your own?
I already did today.
Yeah, he did today. That is your turn, Bev.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and cure wounds myself because I just need to like bolster myself a little bit.
Okay.
So I'll do that at a third level.
Sweet.
Just try and get myself really high up so that Erlen can focus on other people maybe. And then I will, as a bonus action, cast Shield of Faith on Erlen.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
You see shimmering. What does it look like? You used to make it look like your face.
Oh gosh. You know, it looks like it looks like 2 green teen leaves next to each other.
He looks at the shimmering shield around him, then shoots you a look and gives you a nod.
Let's get through this. I heal myself for a whopping 13 points.
Yikes.
Your wounds is not great.
Look out.
And so that puts me at 15 points of HP. Cool, cool, cool.
Shit, brutal. This thing is going to whip down at the end of your turn and try to knock you out. That is a 30 to hit. That is 20 damage that time.
I'm down.
Brutal. Bev goes down. Erlen reaches out as he's collapsing. Dude, no! That is Red's turn. Red is going to hold his reaction. You see, at the end of Red's turn, the Jubilix is going to use a legendary action to go to, like, encase Bev to pull him in. And you see Red jumps in front of him. You're not taking him too! Red jumps in front of him. And you see the ooze like catches him. And he's not pulled in yet. But he is like caught in the goo of the Jubilix. That is Erlen's turn. Fuck it. Erlen is going to use his 5th level spell.
What? No.
Is this heal? Oh, wait, no. Mask your wounds?
He's going to mask your wounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, baby. I was saving that for... where I was.
Oh, my guy's so strong.
Okay, Erlen heals everyone for 20 points. At the end of the round, we haven't really been dealing with this guy. You guys saw the dwarven mage. He said his name was Maz O'Thul, who took you guys there. Suddenly you guys hear explosions from deeper within Irondeep, and you hear him go, "There are Dwarger hollow bodies attacking the city. If you all can handle this, I'm going to go help there. I'll be back with more members of my guild if I can find any."
Please.
You see, he disappears.
From a Mav to a Maz, please.
That is the end of the round. We are going to go back to Frostwind. So
yeah.
We were talking about you guys running towards orcs. We got to save some people's lives here. We are still in initiative.
Yeah.
Cooter is knocked out.
Yeah.
Balnor is completely knocked out. Mm-hmm. You guys see the Frost Dwarves are celebrating. Like, to them, they don't know that like Cooter and Balnor can be saved. To them, they've just seen a bunch of knights get killed and everything. So to them, they're just like, the battle's over. They start, like, these little guys start trying to hoist Hard One up.
Tall dwarf. I got two berries in my pocket. I need you to feed me.
Don't say I have two berries in my pocket.
Everyone starts laughing hysterically.
2 berries in his pocket. Very funny, man.
Oh, I didn't
this
realize.
Dude fucking rules. He killed the freaking Tarrasque and he makes jokes about his balls, man.
That is Balnor's turn. Balnor makes a death save.
What?
Passes. That is Cooter's turn. Cooter
squirt
with like a crooked, broken back on the ground.
I hate my life.
Cooter, I'm going to get you out of this mess.
That's a 10. Cooter is...
Yeah, Cooter!
Gooder
bare
is
minimum
fine.
To succeed.
Moonshine, that is your turn.
All right, y'all, gather around. We're doing a mass cure wounds. We're having a little mirror of what's going on there.
Right on.
18.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cooter pops back up. I still feel better than I've ever felt in my life from that breakfast. You see, he does a Shawn Michaels kick up from the snow, and his back just snaps back into place. Well, I'm glad I came, I guess.
My God, that was cool.
Don't worry, Cooter. I'll teach you how to cook like that.
Yeah, you see, as Moonshine is healing everyone up, the dwarves are all gathering around Hard One. King Coldane reaches his hand up. He can't reach your shoulder, so he like grabs your arm and he goes,
"Thank you, son of Moradin. We would have been lost without you. We would have been lost without all of you."
Turns to all of you guys.
"We're all a bunch of misfits here. Glad we can defend the city together."
Ain't that right?
Starts laughing.
"Did you hear my Goodberry bit?"
I thought it was very funny.
That was hilarious.
Hard One, as you're talking to King Coldane, go ahead and give me perception or insight check.
22.
Whoa. Okay. This dude needs to roll a nat 20 to be as sneaky as he'd like to be.
Uh-oh.
Hard One, as you're laughing with King Coldane and the other dwarves, you see he had this one Kingsguard with him, this dude that had goggles on. You see, it's hard to see his hands because, like, there's so many people around and everybody's gathering around you and talking and slapping each other on the back.
So saying Goodberries, and the thing is that it represents.
Dude, that's so funny.
All right, I was going to say.
You see, this dude has pulled out this knife that is dark with necrotic energy and goes up to stab King Coldane with it. And you see it.
All right, sweet. Can I sock him in the face?
Yeah, go ahead and make a grapple check against him.
Not today.
18.
Hard One. You sock this dude in the face. Ugh! Instantly break his nose. He staggers back. You grab his wrist and start wrestling him for the knife. You see the other frost dwarves around Coldane all start reacting. Whoa, whoa, whoa! They all tackle this dude and pile on, and they're quickly able to subdue him and disarm him. They get the knife away.
This guy obviously had no sense of humor. I rip off his mask, the goggles.
Hollow body.
You rip off the goggles. He has eyes. This is not one of Akarot's.
Bitch!
Can I sniff him for a scent of sour milk? And Pawpaw would like to do it as well with his keen sense of smell.
Open that satchel.
I'm going to say
Pawpaw. Empty his canteen.
You and Pawpaw are going to run up and try to sniff it?
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead and sniff this man.
Out of the way, y'all. I'm going to sniff this man.
Do a perception check.
Do a smell check.
Oh, this is my perception. 18. Pawpaws? Okay, I actually did better than Pawpaw. 18.
18? Smells like milk.
Oh.
You got beef with Theala, Coldane?
I got lots of beef with Theala.
Well, I think she's the one that sent you this present.
You see, suddenly the assassin starts thrashing and yelling. What do you think will happen after all of this? King Coldane does not keep us safe. We need to work with Theala.
King Coldane and a whole bunch of your brethren just killed the goddamn Tarrasque, you moron.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure everything kept you safe until you worked
with
Theala.
It is not over.
You'd be a lot safer right now if you didn't work with Theala.
Only
tell
the
you
light
that.
Can save us.
You
oh, really?
Disrespect you don't really seem
the
that safe.
Dairy industry.
Also a good point.
I go completely silent.
King Coldane goes,
normally I would do the execution, but you see they kick his legs out. And hold them down in front of Moonshine and Apple Scrumper.
Scrumper, will you do the honors?
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Looks at you. Praise Theala.
Praise this bitch.
Oh, no. Wait, I want to grab his good berries and twist them. I don't want that to be his last word.
Oh, my nuts, my berries, no.
Okay,
my berries,
I take it back. He had a sense of humor.
My little berries. Help my little berries.
I stab him in the dick and start to make him bleed out.
My fucking dick. My berries. not thinking berries. No.
May the scribe please record that that his last words were "my little berries."
Maverick doesn't know why, but he starts laughing.
Just in poison smoke, just coughing. Huh. Sweet. So yeah, you guys thwart this assassin. Everybody is celebrating, but everybody kind of quickly goes back to business. You see the Eladrin begin to arrive, and Moonshine, you hear the voice, the seer, talking through the crown go, "Asmodeus is still in danger."
All right, we're heading right there. I got a plant that's going to take us there. It may look humble, but it's far-reaching.
This mass of Eladrin starts transporting through this tree.
I think ideally they're just dropping from the sky and into the tree and just disappearing. So it's like a
where do you need us? It looks like the dinosaur is already taken care of.
Everyone into the tiny tree.
All right, Faye this way. Faye this way.
Faye this way.
Faye this way.
You see the Eladrin start pouring through this portkey. Let's cut back to the Jubilix. Red is in danger. Bev is in danger. You are all fighting this giant, massive, sizzling ooze with dozens of bloodshot eyes that has taken over this throne room. At the start of the round, that is Cobb and Egwene's turn. You see Cobb chucks a potion, and Egwene is going to shoot. That is a big 23 to hit. She strikes the potion, and you see the Jubilix is shocked by this bolt of lightning energy. It takes a big 34 damage. At the end of their turn, it is going to take a legendary action. It is already encased red. It is going to shoot out a gooey appendage and connect to him, so he's in a lot of danger. And then that is its lair action next. I'm going to need everybody to go ahead and give me a dex saving throw.
I'm going to use my reaction to add my plus +3.
Bev, you hold up your shield.
Only got a 7.
Yikes.
Let's see. Oh, 19. Okay. Oh, wait, plus +4, so
Jesus.
Yeah.
23. Oh, yeah. Everybody who's up in the Jubilix mix gets your plus +4.
Jubilix mix.
Erlen still fails. Red has disadvantage because he's in the gunk, and he fails as well. You see a bloated dwarven corpse comes out from within the Jubilix and explodes and sprays acid all over you guys. You take half of it, Bev. So half of 37 is going to be just 18.
I'm still up. Barely.
Cobb and Egwene are under cover, so they're going to roll with advantage. They both pass, but they take half. Oh, also, at the end of their turns, these guys are going to see if they get any flesh rot. And both of their flesh rot gets worse. Cobb and Egwene's.
Hey, is anybody else feeling itchy?
I am definitely feeling itchy.
Yeah, super itchy. Itchy, right?
Hold on. I have some creams. I have Benadryl. Does anyone need Benadryl?
I need a shot of penicillin right now.
If you had Benadryl, you should have told us.
I'm sorry. I forgot about the Benadryl. There's a lot going on.
Oh, Erlen did not roll either. He's going to roll for his flesh rot. Shout out to the two crew.
Oh, Erlen.
That is Mavris's turn. Mavris, you feel real bad.
Bev, I don't know what to do. I think I just need to keep smacking this thing.
Keep smacking the goo.
Another sunbeam, another fifth level fireball.
Okay.
Jesus. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, if he can, why not?
I threw this legendary resistance.
Yeah.
He's got no more.
That's true.
Sunbeam is 68, so that's coming out. I think it's coming out of my chest like a Care Bear.
Okay.
Blast him, Mav. Show less of your chest, though.
Never. 30.
Passed its con save, so it takes half.
Takes 15.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do fireball at a fifth level.
Mavris is good.
Yeah. I love sorcerers.
Come on, Mavi.
Erlen's just very serious. This dude's really good. Thanks for bringing him down.
No problem. I understand it's awkward, but like, seriously, check this guy out.
I really like the shield that you gave me.
I have to prove myself to the new people I'm surrounded with.
Oh, the shield went down when I died, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Oh, this shit.
That's okay. Actually really bad.
35.
Jesus, okay. Make deck save. That's 11, baby. He takes the whole thing.
Yeah!
Woo!
Ah!
Just screaming.
just eyeballs all focused on Maverick, so mad and sizzling.
Do they get even redder?
They get super red.
I have eye drops, and I'm not going to use them.
Eye drops and Benadryl. Damn, what did you bring?
At the end of Maverick's turn, this thing is going to use its last legendary action. It is going to try to pull Red in. Even if Red fails, he just takes acid damage from the inside. He does not auto-die. Mm-hmm. You only disintegrate if you're unconscious. So Red is going to do a strength saving throw. He doesn't have great strength.
Oh, do you need to do a con save?
Oh, yeah. Do a con save at the end of your turn, Maverick.
I remembered and I didn't say anything.
I want to break
28.
Great. Really good. Good job.
So my constitution is plus 10 because I have plus 3 to constitution.
Okay.
Plus I have, I'm proficient in it from resilience for constitution, which gives me my proficiency bonus, which is 5.
Okay.
So that's 8. And then my staffs give me plus 2 to all of my saving throws.
Yeah, hell yeah,
so I have plus 10 to constitution.
Math.
28, baby.
What's your staff called?
The Staff of Power.
Classic, cool. But I wouldn't want it any other way.
That is one in the win column for Mavris.
So I'm 1-1.
So you're 1-1, baby.
Oh.
In fighting the rash.
It's just
the ooze rash.
You're just dealing with
I hate this goddamn ooze rash.
Hey, Cobb, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Everyone, here, put a sock over your hand. Do not scratch it. You're going to make it worse.
You hear God. Red from inside the goo. Me and Gunther one time, we got the ooze rash. We were going gambling at Smuggler's Bounty. We were getting wild.
I want to hear about this story.
We all got the ooze rash.
Inappropriate.
It's totally not okay to say to kids, and I'm gonna say it.
Tell it, tell it loud.
At the end of Maverick's turn, it's gonna take its last lair action of the round and attempt to pull Red in. Red is not incapacitated, so he'll just take acid damage at the beginning of his turn and be restrained unless somebody pulls him out.
Is he close enough to get my aura?
He is close enough to get your aura. It's a DC 21, and he does not have a good plus to strength. Let me look at Red's stats right now. He has a plus 0.
Come on, Teen Grease versus Monster Goo.
That is just a 20.
Oh,
so you do see he is pulled into the monster. He will take damage on his turn. That is the Jubilix's turn. Jubilix is going to swing forward at our boy Bev here. That's only a 17 to hit.
That misses.
Yeah.
Misses.
Please
on
keep
the first
missing.
Attack. That's a 30 to hit.
That's going
to
hit.
20 damage.
Yep, I'm down again.
Okay, you guys see Bev goes down. It takes its third attack against Erlen. That is 19 to hit Erlen, and that hits him. That does a big 20 damage to him.
Man, y'all at home should see the sick smile on Murph's face.
I love
it. It's so twisted and
I
big.
I love hitting.
He's grinching out over there. It's
so
wild.
You're down?
I'm down.
Okay. Bev goes down. That is Bev's turn. Bev, go ahead and give me a death saving throw.
I'd love to, sir. It's that time again, folks.
Wow. At least we're continuing the episode this time.
Oh, that's a 19. So close. Okay. But that is a save.
That is a pass. At the end of Bev's turn, this thing is going to use a legendary action to lash out at Erlen, verbally, says some really mean stuff to him.
What?
And does,
what is it with you and teens? Goodness.
Does a big 30 damage.
Hey, Erlen's got pretty thick skin. I think he can take it.
Starts freaking out. Shut up, I'm going through a lot. Just voice cracks even more than normal. How do I save my father figure, my boyfriend?
He called me his boyfriend. And I'm dead to not hear it.
That is Red's turn. At the beginning of Red's turn, he takes 38 acid damage. You see him struggling, trying to get out, but this thing is just eating him alive. And then at the end of his turn, the Jubilix is going to take a legendary action. Swings at Erlen. It hits him for 20. Erlen is looking pretty messed up. Red is looking very messed up.
I don't like it.
And then it is Erlen's turn. Erlen sees Maverick. You are just part of this like emotional thing where like you just don't know any of these people. It's like being at somebody else's wedding.
Mm-hmm. Maverick is just nodding a lot.
It's a nice toast.
I feel it. I feel all of this a lot, and I don't know what it is.
You see, he's kind of not.
Erlen, can you get Erlen, I'm Mavris.
Hey, I'm Erlen.
Can you get Bev?
I can get Bev, but then Red's gonna die too.
I can get Red if you can get Bev.
You see, he looks at you with this like extremely serious face. You see his like eyes are welling up, and he goes,
"Thanks for not making me choose, man."
You got it, dude.
Are you still wearing the sunglasses?
Egwene pops up. Did you just do a fucking Full House quote, dude?
I don't even know you.
I don't even know you. What's your deal?
How rude.
I'm Mavris.
Wait a minute.
What's up?
Look, I'm here to kick ass, okay?
Cool, good, whatever.
Don't be mad at me.
Yeah.
Because you're in a room
I'm
with
19.
A okay.
just getting that out there.
Erlen is going to rush over to you, Bev, puts his hand behind your head, puts his hand on your chest, and he is going to do a fourth level cure wounds on you. Let's hope I roll better.
Oh, give me
this
them
time.
Good rolls.
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. That is a big 35 health.
Nice. Thank you.
To our friend Bev here.
As I pop up, I look at him and say, I know now's not the time, but I read the journal. And I know you don't need to hear this from me, but you're cool as hell, dude.
Shut up, dude. he goes and he gives you a kiss as Red's just there. He's like, I am fucking dying
Let's
here,
get
kids.
Get
I'm fucking dying here. At the end of the round, we are going to cut back to Frostwind. What are you guys doing now? How are you guys healing up?
I mean, I think I got to tune into the thinking cap and see what's going on. I mean, we got a bunch of Fey getting dispatched. You know, basically one every second dropping in, going so I think I should tune into the thinking cap and see what's up.
Okay, Moonshine, you tune into the thinking cap. You're able to transport yourself to Asmodia, but you are in this strange fungal network. So all of the landscape is just outlined to you. You can't fully see what's going on. You do see some magical items though, like magic appears to you. And the main thing you see are these giant chains. There are four of them that are hooked into the floating city of Gladeholm, almost like giant versions of what a pirate would use to get onto another boat. So Gladeholm is literally tethered to Asmodia. This appears to be some magical means by which Asmodia is keeping Gladeholm here. Gladeholm can't teleport away. You see this bubble around the city, though. It looks like Erdan's shield is still holding. But you also see orcs trying to get into it. You can see orcs because they have elven blood. They're basically corrupted elves. You see they appear as these gray twisted figures, and they're crawling up the bubble, crawling up this shield, thousands of them like ants on rotted food. You can see the spectral forms of elves within Gladeholm and Eladrin joining them. You can hear their thoughts. You hear a lot of anxiety. It looks like with the Eladrin, they're better off, but they're still surrounded. And it seems like at the very least, they'll need your help.
What do y'all think about heading through that plant?
Hey, the elves are my people just as much as the dwarves are. Let's do it.
All right.
I have some mud borders to lead.
All right.
You see, as...
are you covered in shit?
Yeah, isn't it great?
As you guys are gathering up and getting ready to go into the tree and the Eladrin are running in, Kuldane runs over to you guys and he goes, where are we needed?
You're needed in Gladeholm, which is currently tethered to Asmodia. This humble plant that I have referenced several times will take you there.
You see Kuldane turns to all the Frost Dwarves who are all kind of just like celebrating. They're all, you know, some of them are mourning people that they lost. A lot of them are just super exhausted. And Kuldane turns to them and he goes,
hey, these people just saved this city. They want us to help save another city. So us dwarves are gonna go to this weird tree thing. Help me out here, man.
Kuldane turns to Ardwan.
You were on the right track. Yeah, the dwarves are headed to this weird tree thing.
Fey the way.
This way to the Fey. Fey this way. What did it say?
Don't delay.
Whichever gets them moving, honestly. Whichever they seem more excited about.
Hey, you know what? These guys have bigger berries than any other elf I've ever seen. Let's go through that weird tree thing. See, everyone starts cheering. Berries, berries.
My jaw trembles and a tear rolls down my cheek.
You guys see the frost dwarves join you guys as you go through the port key. Let's cut back to the Jubilix. Red has been consumed by this giant monster and is still struggling to escape. Bev and Erlen are taking serious damage. At the top of the order, that is Cobb and Egwene. Egwene shoots. That is a nat 1, but she is a halfling. She is lucky. Lots of halflings in this campaign. That's a nat 20.
Yeah!
Good.
So
Lord.
Cool.
Her and Cobb do a total of, oh my god, I combined their attacks to make this easy for me, but it also means that when they crit, they do so much damage.
Heck yeah.
She did 70 damage.
Holy shit.
You see this thing explodes and a huge chunk of it breaks off.
I should have stayed dead. They got this.
Dude, we absolutely don't.
I was joking. I was trying to keep it light. Sorry.
Yay, everybody keep it light, all right? We got to remember to laugh. Everyone remember to laugh.
Cobb, you're crying.
This guy's fucking hilarious.
Mavericks gets it.
I honestly don't.
At the end of Cobb and Egwene's turn.
Yeah, but you're faking it real good.
Cobb and Egwene both pass their flesh rot thing. The itch, I'm starting to like it. It's kind of fun to have an itch to scratch. It's like, it's like being addicted to tobacco, which is fine. Everybody knows.
You're so red.
He starts smoking, and it starts a small fire.
Smoking's bad, guys.
We can use that. That's like a fireball.
At the end of Cobb and Egwene's turn, it's going to take an acid lash at Erlen. That is a natural 1. Mrs. Erlen whips at him, but the power of love stops him. you guys just like duck to make out, and the goo gets
over
his head.
Yeah, we do. I put my hand in his back pocket.
Hey, you motherfuckers, get me out of the goddamn goo. It hurts so fucking bad in here. I got bits of my fucking best friend in here. God damn it.
Mavericks, it's your turn.
I forgot to check in on this. Am I restrained still?
You are restrained.
Okay. Can I use my sunbeam to blow off the stuff that's restraining me?
I would allow
that. Dang. Yes.
Okay. I'll do that.
Okay.
Just, you know, just like a pressure washer.
Right on.
Blasting slime off myself.
Sweet.
Okay. I'm going to run and jump into the slime and grab Red. And then I'm going to use a quicken spell to thunderstep out.
Yeah! Thunderstep!
Jesus Red. Christ, that's so rad. Okay, go ahead and give me acrobatics or athletics check. You can do it no matter what, but if you are fast enough... You won't take any damage.
Okay.
Or you could do like an arcana check or something, the idea being that like the magic protects you as you like just make the minimal amount of contact to be able to save Red.
Very funny for me to be able to choose between Arcana Athletics and choose Athletics.
Dude, you're on the ultimate Frisbee team.
Yes. I don't really know what any of this is, but I can do it. Okay, so that would be 17.
That is actually going to fail, okay. Mavericks, you take 19 damage of acid damage. As you reach in, you grab Red, you thunderstep, you slam your foot down and stomp, and lightning comes out, and you and him disappear. You appear holding this gooey rat man who's just dying and sizzling in your arms.
Fuck, absolutely fuck my life.
Hey, man, I don't know what you are, but I didn't want you to die.
I fucking love you, dude.
Are you a pet or?
I'm a goddamn rat man.
Enough said, right?
Yeah.
I put the sunglasses on.
Thank you. That makes
And Thunderstep is 3d10.
Yeah, Thunderstep is damage.
Does he make a dex save or anything?
Constitution save.
Thunderstep is dimension door, but with damage.
Shout out to the two crew. Does not pass his constitution save.
Erlen, your rat dad's so cool. I love how much he swears.
Yeah, he's rad as hell.
Only 13 damage.
Ain't no only in a battle
and I'm
like
gonna,
this.
Gonna land behind, like behind Egwene. And,
okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get and, like behind those guys.
Those guys.
Oh, hey, it's the other guy with the itch. You got ooze itch, right?
Ah, pretty bad. And speaking of,
yeah, it sucks.
I gotta roll for it.
Yeah, roll for it.
28 again.
Nice.
Yes.
That's less itchy every day.
Hey, man, I've powered through things like this.
Yeah. Listen, if we get through this, I can heal everyone with the holy power of Benadryl and Pelor's light combined into some sort of super goo. But for now, I think we should focus on killing this thing.
Sweet. Erlen actually forgot to roll.
Oof.
His flesh rot, his ooze rash gets worse. That is the Jubilix's turn.
Our guy.
It's our guy, baby.
It's our goopy guy.
Our goopy guy. This dude, you see it opens like a false gooey maw and starts spitting up acid at Erlen. Erlen is going to go ahead and make a dex save. He fails.
Can I use my reaction to like shield him?
I will.
Can I like toss my shield Captain America style?
I will tell you right now that he rolled poorly enough that it will not help. But I will say that like you get up and try to shield him and Erlen pushes you down out of the way. I don't need you to save me, dude. Covered in this acidy ooze, instantly knocked out and super hurt. And you see he falls back and this green gunk begins to crawl on him like it did Gunther. That is your turn, Bev.
Okay. How is Erlen looking?
Erlen is knocked the fuck out.
He's out.
Yes.
Fuck. Nobody else can heal here. All right. Erlen's our healer. I got to get him back up. I'm going to go to him. Mavris is doing massive damage with his sunbeams and firebolts, so I'm not worried about that. I'm going to run over to Erlen, just like old times. Going to take out my two hands, clap them together, warm them up. Touch hands, my boy.
You touch hands, your boy. You do a touch. He finishes hands with you in tandem. Hands! He pops back up. How much are you going to heal him for?
15, so I have 5 left.
Sweet. He pops back up. 2. 15. That is Red's turn.
Red, please don't get in there.
Yeah, I don't want to go back in there, but at the same time, the kids, right?
Yeah, if next turn I can do something, but I don't know if we can have that much time.
Yeah, I jumped in that goo monster once before, and it sucked so bad, truly.
I know. I did too.
All right, I'm just going to throw a knife at him.
Okay.
Hey, kids, watch out. I'm throwing a fucking knife.
Oh! Red just tosses a knife haphazardly. He absolutely misses.
How is their group so much cooler than
he
ours?
Missed?
He missed.
It's huge, dude.
Well, you see, it just like eats his knife. It's just like he didn't throw it. It didn't hit an eye. It just like hit goop. It's just like throwing a toothpick at some Jell-O. She's like, okay, yeah, you did that, I guess. At the end of Red's turn, this thing is going to take an acid lash attack at Bev as a legendary action. 21 to hit.
That hits.
17 damage.
Okay, still up.
You stay up, baby. That is Erlen's turn. Erlen is going to hold his turn to see kind of where he's needed. He just looks around. He's got like a healing spell ready. You just see like one glowing gauntleted hand. That is back up to Cobb and Egwene, the dream team. Pull! Cobb throws the potion. That is a natural 17. That is a 26 total. They do a big 30 damage to this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing is looking extremely messed up. At the end of Cobb and Egwene's turn, though, it is going to lash forward at Erlen. It hits Erlen. You see Erlen goes down. Erlen just gets hit by a big slimy hand.
No!
Gets cracked and flies back. That is Mavris's turn.
Okay.
Are you gonna throw a knife, dude? Don't throw a fucking knife, man!
Can I have a knife later if I make it through this?
Yes. You okay. Can have goddamn whatever you want, man.
All right. Sunbeam, and then a level 4. My last 2 sorcery points to quicken spell. Fireball at a level 4.
Okay.
26.
26. Mavris. Finish this.
Yeah!
Maverick sees these two boys in love and with his Care Bear power, shoots the sunbeam out of his chest. He rips his sunglasses back from Red and puts them back on. And then actually takes a knife from Red and throws it in the air. Just because.
Whoa, those are collectors.
Yes! Love is love!
Did you just quote Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Is love. And just shoots a sunbeam at the Jubilix.
Jesus Christ. You shoot this beam of red-hot light, hits this thing, and it begins to melt away as you give an insane speech that you took from someone who does not exist in this world.
I just made that up.
Maverick loves
it's
the
Tony amazing. That's so inspiring.
You see old Cobb is sobbing. That's fucking beautiful, man. God damn it.
I'm Maverick.
Plagiarism.
You might be unschooled, but your heart is so wise.
Did I make an impression, everybody?
Yeah, you fry this thing. The rest of the goop falls and sizzles and disappears. It like melts away all of the stuff that it lands on, but it is no longer sentient. So it just plops over immediately. Egwene runs over she runs up to you, Bev. She puts her hand on your shoulder and then she leans down and she pours a potion in Erlen's mouth. You see Erlen pops up and he starts coughing.
Oh, hey, everyone. Anyone that's afflicted with the contagion, I cleansing touch them.
Oh, can I roll just to see if I beat it of my own free will?
Yeah.
19, I beat it.
Get away from me, I don't need it.
My immunity is so...
Okay.
I've basically great. Gotten the flu shot for this.
Did you beat Uzich on your own, man?
Tell people that. Tell my tale.
Everybody gets over their...
He quoted Lin-Manuel Miranda. Ben beat Uzich on his own.
He's a legend.
Is there a bard here? Come on. Someone make a song.
Bastard orphan.
You guys all catch your breath. You look around. You see this destroyed castle. You see the decaying remains of all these guards that like tried to help. And you do hear fighting throughout the city. And as you guys like try to catch your breath, you see Red is kind of staring forward, obviously very upset that he lost Gunther. You see Maz, this little wizard dwarf guy, suddenly appears in the doorway and he goes, "There's trouble at the Dwarfenage. They can't defend themselves. They don't have enough guards."
We're there.
All right. Follow me. And he runs out. You guys take off after him. We're going to cut back over to the other team.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
You guys appear in Gladeholm by the Silver Tree outside of Gladeholm Castle. You're with Frost Dwarves and Eladrin. You see orcs are trying to get in. They're climbing the barrier. Mages and archers are getting ready to fire on them. Others are running to the front lines and preparing for them to get through the barrier. It's kind of like the bubble in Esri looking out. You can see outside, but everything looks kind of blurry, but you see the outlines of the fallen city with crumbling towers and buildings. Actually, you know what? Let's go ahead and do a pure luck check. We'll say 10 or higher, and the barrier is still up when you guys get here. If you get any lower, then it'll just be chaos as soon as you show up.
Who's rolling it?
Who's rolling it?
Not me. I've been rolling like shit.
That's why you're fucking due.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got out your pirate rolls. Now it's time.
Yeah.
All right.
I've been rolling too good. What's going to end?
19! Yeah. Finally, 19. A 19
the
sheer, is useful.
The shield is still holding.
Great.
You see that there are all these projectiles flying at it. And there are like holes appearing in the barrier that are taking longer to kind of seal. Occasionally an arrow will get through. But you do see coming through the port key are your old friends, Cran and Durlin. Yeah. You see Cran looks like this little monster hunter, a bunch of daggers on her belt and two swords on her back. She's got scars across her face and long brown hair. And you see Durlin's there and he's got like his man bun up and he's a real he's a real fancy boy of the summer court. But you know that they had they were living in the Bear Prince's place. So they were in spring. So you see they walk up and Durlin goes, "Scout Masters, it's a beautiful day to die, is it not?"
How's the hot tub?
It's good. I'd like to get back there in one piece if
possible.
Yeah,
well, keep the D word out of your mouth and you will.
All right, Durlin, keep the D word out of your mouth.
Very well, my love.
I'll die with
What's
you,
Durlin. What's the D word? Because I want to go in a hot tub.
Oh, it's die. We don't talk about dying.
Oh, no, never say the D word.
my name is Durlin, by the way.
I'm Apple. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I like your many knives. Very rad.
Thank you. Yeah.
All right, well.
All right, so what's the plan here? I heard you're like the queen of the material plane now.
That would be news to me. I'm merely borrowing the thinking cap for the time being and trying to lend my touch where I can.
Sounds about right, Durlin. Moonshine, what do we do?
Okay, before I know what I can do, I need to try to go into my thinking cap again.
Okay.
Because I'd like to try to figure out what Meemaw and Lucanus are up to. And if possible, I think I'd like to make sure that Bev and Mav are okay.
They are not elves, so you cannot connect to them through the thinking cap.
But can I see my stinky spores all over them?
Go ahead and roll a wisdom save as you try to tap into the thinking cap.
18.
You are able to sense that Cobb is still there.
Ugh. All right, because he's an elf. Maybe I'll just say, Cobb, y'all okay? Did I send you the reinforcements?
Well, with
that
an
you
18,
needed?
Would you like to speak to Cobb, or you also get a read on? So,
nah, if Cobb is okay, I'm gonna check in on Meemon Lucanus.
You see, as you tap into the thinking cap and tap in your spore network, you see that there are the spectral forms of elves all around you, and everyone is extremely nervous. So there's a lot of noise, like a lot of people's thoughts, and everybody's rambling. Everybody's very scared, but you focus and you zero in on Meemaw and Lucanus, and you are dragged through this strange demiplane, and you find them amongst all of these orcs, these gray spectral figures that are trying to get into the city. Meemaw and Lucanus are sneaking around.
Meemaw, Papa, the other P-A-P-A.
Moonchan, what are you doing here? How are you talking to me in my head?
So, turns out I've been leaving my stinky spores on everyone. It's giving me sort of a...
Are you using the Noah Thial right now, my daughter?
Yeah, Dad, I am. In fact, I've been communing with Diawana.
He immediately begins sobbing.
Okay, I think you're trying to stealth right now. Maybe hold them in. Build up them walls just like Hardwon would say.
Chokes him back.
Thick.
Hi.
Meemaw goes, I'm so glad you're all right. You guys defeated the Tarrasque?
Oh, yeah, that Tarrasque is absolutely... It's
all right. Thank God, because obviously we got a big problem here.
Yeah.
Your father and I, we saw that there were Eladrin that were coming through. It looks like they got quite a few elven troops in there now.
You know, I may or may not have had something
no,
to do with
you
that.
Didn't.
You know, I might have had my way with a rift in the sky. I might have set up a little fade this way.
Sobbing.
You know,
did you thwack the gash?
I might have.
Did you thwack the gash?
You know, a lady never tells.
Right. Anyway, the city's still completely surrounded. As you can see, there are all of these chains that are stopping the city from being able to get away. They have the high ground. They have the city surrounded. So what me and your father were trying to do
is get rid of them chains.
Huh, should we have tried to get rid of the chains? Lucanus goes, I think if we were to try to get rid of the chains, it would just alert them to our location and we'd be pretty quickly dispensed.
Okay.
We were trying to find Akarot and cut the head off of the beast, and we have located him. And we were going to face him. It was a bit foolhardy with just the two of us, but perhaps with your help, it wouldn't be so foolhardy.
I got a couple of hardy fools for your mission.
Do you have... Oh, I was going to say, do you have any way of getting you out of the city?
I've been saving a 7th level spell.
Why don't you save it some more. Excelsior! he casts teleport and appears next to you guys within the city.
Oh,
hello.
Hey, so
we spoke in our minds.
In the flesh,
hello,
yeah.
Lucanus.
We were doing sort of a little bit of a network thing, sort of like an early World Wide Web.
Good stuff. Hey, Luke.
Is that what we're doing now?
Trying it on.
We're calling it Luke. Okay?
You're just such a Lucanus. It's so weird.
It's a big day. I'm not going to fight it. You know what? I'm not going to fight it today.
All right. Can you get us to where? Okay. Scromper?
Mm-hmm.
Hardwon?
Hey.
How do y'all feel about cutting the head off this beast?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Hardwon, I think you're the first person I ever saw decapitate someone, so.
Let's see if I can repeat that.
Yeah.
Honored to be fighting alongside you, Luke.
I'm Apple. Nice to meet you, Luke.
Oh,
nice,
this is my dad.
You.
He's dirty.
No, you know who your daddy is.
I know. You know
my
what?
My name is Lucanus Ertia.
Earthier.
Yes, my name is Luke Earthier.
Great. Amazing.
Ooh. I love that name. You sound like you run a smoothie shop.
Best good berries in all Bohemia.
I'm going to say he took Meemaw with him as well.
Okay.
It wouldn't make sense for him to teleport by himself. So Meemaw arrives. Apple, good to see you again. How's the field? As bad as the crick, I'm sure.
Oh, you know, it's always beautiful.
Unfortunately taken over by Chosen at the moment.
Well,
as is
yes,
the crick.
No, they are big milk drinkers.
Yeah, they're probably draining them cows.
I don't blame them, but I do want to kill them.
Yeah.
They give dairy a bad name,
they
I've
do.
Heard.
Yeah.
You see, as you guys gather around Lucanus and Meemaw, Cran and Derlin go and join the other Fae folk, the Eladrin, in prepping to defend the city. Cooter joins them as well. A few Green Knights come through, but it's mostly Eladrin from the Spring Court, since that's where the rift between the two planes is. And Lucanus leans into you guys and goes, all right, if this is our team, I can teleport us. There's a tower that overlooks the city where I've been able to track Akarat too.
I can't get us in, but I can get us to the base and we can confront him from there.
Do I see Coldain?
Yeah.
Sweet. Can I say goodbye to him?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Hey, Your Majesty, I'm going to peace out. I just wanted to say deuces and, well, shit, it's been an honor. Here, you can have this good berry in case you need it. Now I only have one, guys.
That's fucking hilarious, man. He gives you a big hug and takes the berry from you, and he puts his hand on your shoulder, and he looks very serious, and he goes, you know, politically, it's usually within the family that you pass on the crown, but really, true followers of Moradin, Hammer chooses next king. Now, my current son is... I just hate his guts. He's a bad, rotten guy.
Yeah, that happens sometimes with sons.
And you remind me of Gerard.
You know, I used to not be so fond of that guy at one point, but he's a brave dude.
Yes.
I'm honored that I remind you of him. I am.
Perhaps we start calling you Tall Prince.
Tell you what, man, I wouldn't fucking hate that.
He brings you in for a hug. All right. Now, that's just between us. Hopefully I don't die during this fight. Anyway, talk to you later.
Peace, man.
He just goes and he joins lines of elves and stuff. Look at this guy. It's made of fucking leaves, man. The Frost Dwarves are freaking out at the Eladrin.
Made of leaves?
Just complete culture shock sides.
Hey, Frostwind Dwarves, maybe we be nice to the Eladrin, okay? Maybe we try on some leaves ourselves.
All right. Give me some of your leaves. So put it on.
Start making little...
What's that about, hard one, huh? You fixing to get your own crown?
Hey, no, I just like being called tall as all.
Everybody's finding their daddies today, I guess.
So Lucanus gathers you guys all together and goes, the shield won't hold forever, but hopefully the army can hold off the orcs long enough to give us time.
For morale. I mean, a lot of these folk, I'm telling you what, I'm tapping into some negative energy, and a lot of these folk think that they are just on the other side of death's door right now. And I want people to know that they are not fighting to die.
I think if you were to tell them that, it would make them feel a lot better. Moonshine, you hear all of this chatter in your head using the thinking cap.
I'm so bad at this shit.
I lay down my wood block so Moonshine can stand on it and get just a little bit taller.
I get a little bit taller.
I put her on my shoulders.
I get a lot taller. Hey, y'all.
Listen up.
Hey, y'all. My name's Moonshine Sabin. Sorry, this isn't one of those kind of events.
Moonshine.
Oh,
you see all the cricks say it at the same time.
Wow. I'm not much of a public speaker, more of a sort of behind the scenes kind of person. Anyways, I want to let y'all know, I know that y'all think that you are here to die an honorable death for a cause that you believe in, but that is not what is going to happen. We are going to make sure that what you are doing is not in vain.
Go ahead and make a persuasion check with advantage.
16.
16. You see, yeah, one Frost Dwarf just yells out, this woman tore a fucking hole in the sky.
That's true.
I guess what I'm trying to say, y'all, is that this fight is not on your shoulders. The heavy lifting is going to be down to us, and we are going to make it easy for you. That is all I'm saying, and I want you to go into this fight knowing that we have got your back.
So get your mud boards. Climb them trees.
You see a bunch of elves start putting their mud boards on. They do that really laborious snowboard thing where they like sit down and they start clipping in. And you see elves and frost dwarves look up at you, Moonshine. And there's just a chorus of kind of, I am Spartacus, but just like, no, I've got your back. And I've got your back.
Okay.
I've got your back.
You buy us time and we will buy you your lives.
Would love to have my life.
Well, you will.
We got your back.
We got your back. We got your back. We got your back.
Going
all through the city.
Okay.
Apple's drunk.
Shut up. I'm just, I always carry a little flask with me, and that's fine. It's been a long day.
Get that field water.
This woman rode a freaking dinosaur.
That's right.
Yeah.
I deserve a little nip.
Your flask is bone dry.
It's fine, everybody.
Balnor has a butt heavy out. You guys are all pumped up with adrenaline and stuff. Erdan is actively holding the shield, so you guys are in a bit of a time crunch. I'll say you can do a short rest, but you can only use half your hit dice. Okay. So it's basically, this is just you guys getting like pumped up, being like, all right, we had a breather, getting back out on the field right now. In the meantime, we're going to cut back over to Iron Deep. So Mavris, Bev, Erlen, Egwene, Cobb, and Red follow Maz. You guys rush through the city. You see that the entirety of Iron Deep is built inside this massive cavern. Overhead, you see various cart tracks and zip line systems that go through the city. It's all very fun stuff done very practically.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. <Why?
laughs> Oh,
We could learn a thing or two. Can we say that we looked at your amulet?
Or oh, everyone? For sure.
You guys everyone definitely have, okay, you have time. Gander. You have time cool. for a bonus action. Look at your amulet.
Can we also cool. say that before we left that chamber, I maybe scooped up some of Gunther's hair just as like a potential failsafe resurrection down
oh,
the road?
Oh, sweet. Yeah. So as you, as Maz is like going to take you guys out, Red looks at you as you're like looking through the goo and he goes, "Hey, kid, what are you doing? We got to go."
I'm just trying to find something of Gunther. I have a
we'll
lot of powerful
have
friends.
Always have Gunther in our heart.
No.
Man. Oh, you mean literally?
Literally.
You sick fuck. What, you want his like arm or something?
No, I have a lot of powerful friends, and I trust that maybe one day they'll be able to bring Gunther back. And even if not, I feel like you should have something of him. Just like a little tuft of hair or something.
Oh, do you think hair will work? Because sometimes he used to get all knotted. And
you see he pulls out this hairbrush
that has... Oh, ain't that cute?
He couldn't get between his shoulder blades.
I clap Red on the shoulder. He might not come back exactly like the Gunther you knew, but he'll still be Gunther. So we have to try. If you would allow me to take a little piece of this and give it to my friend Moonshine, I think we could try to reincarnate him when the moment's right.
I mean, that would be fucking incredible. Here, man, take all his hair. Cool. Starts pulling hair out of the comb. We share a comb, so I'm going to keep the comb because okay. We just have the one
I'll
comb.
Try to divide them.
Yeah.
So I pull here's out the a, hair. I pull out a little Ziploc.
Sweet. He gives you some of Gunther's hair. You guys have rushed out. You have gone through the city. You guys arrive at Iron Deep Dwarfenage. You see a broken sign. It's like broken in half, so it just says like Iron Finage. You see that the
it
door.
Always said that.
You see that the door
seems about right
to the old building has been broken down, and that several of the windows are broken. You can also hear fighting throughout the city. You passed by some like hollow body dwargers that were fighting against Iron Deep knights and stuff, but it looks like they have a handle on it now that the Jubilix is dead. But you get to the Dwarfenage, and it looks like somebody has broken in here, but you don't hear anything going on inside. And you see Maz goes,
"Shit, shit, shit. I saw some dwargers heading in this direction before, and now all the kids are gone. They might have taken them deeper into the mines. I can teleport us to a dwarger camp that I know of, but are you guys ready for another fight?"
Hey, man.
We'll do what we have to do.
I think we gotta do it.
Yeah, if someone has a potion I could pop, that'd be great, but we can do it.
I think our buddy Hardwin would have wanted us to save some dwarvens.
Yeah.
Mavris looks at the amulet and gets... up to full. Yeah.
Great. These other guys look at the amulet.
Great.
Erlen gets a bunch of HP. Egwene and Cobb were pretty much at full. Red gets up to full. You see Maz goes and he puts one hand on Erlen, one hand on Bev, looks
can
around.
I hop on his back.
You hop on his back.
I grab his beard.
Honk honk.
Beep beep.
Beep beep. That's what it was.
All right. Everybody ready to go?
Think so.
All right. Mavris, You see Maz disappears with Erlen and Bev, and you crash onto the floor there. In the Dwarfenage, an orange ball starts glowing. Go ahead and give me a dexterity saving throw.
What? Is Maz a bad guy?
Oh, shit. 18.
Maversy pass.
What the hell are you doing, man?
Maybe he's bringing he's bringing them to Akra. Akra loves teen boys.
No, Maz is taking us on a chaperone date. That's obviously what's happening. We're going to a roller coaster. It's fine.
I think he's bringing you to Akra. Akra loves teen boys.
Murph has so much dice back there.
Oh, no.
75 damage. As you see, the Dwarfenage explodes. All of these stones and rocks fly out, clearly rigged with some kind of trap. You guys all are knocked prone. You're blown back from this explosion. And Egwene just scrambles to her feet and she goes, what the fuck happened? Where did they go?
I think Maz is a fucking asshole. I think he's part of the bad guy team. Look, I know the least about everything. So 75 was half?
No. 75 was total. So if you take half, you only took 32.
Oh, okay.
So Cobb failed, so he looks super fucked up, but still alive. Red looks messed up because he doesn't have a lot of HP to start with, so he's not looking great. And Egwene looks like a little messed up, but right now she's just frazzled.
Okay. Can I make some kind of Arcana check to see if I understand, if he was, or just perception check or something to make sure if I he was lying or
go
something?
Go ahead and make an Arcana check. Yeah.
Arcana.
Are you doing
like
an Arcana check to remember every interaction with him or something to see if he's a bad guy?
With him, could I also make a is there anything that I can... I made an 11 on an Arcana check, but okay. Can I make any sort of, perception check?
Perception
basically,
or insight,
Basically, we want, in the movie when all the flashbacks happen back to back and you realize
Kaiser
the person
that.
Was a bad guy.
Can I put the pieces together?
Yeah.
He said his name was Maz Bad Guy.
That's only a 13.
Okay.
Insight.
So... You know that in order to cast the teleport spell, it's not a banishment or anything. The person has to want to go with you. They have to agree to the teleport. So it seems like he lured you guys here, was hoping to, for some reason, teleport Bev and Erlen somewhere and then get rid of the rest of you guys. But you guys are too strong to be killed in one hit.
This is unnecessarily optimistic, but maybe he's just a private eye for Martha Togold and she just really wants Bev home.
Or a couples counselor.
She wanted
just
everyone he knew to die.
Again, I think he's taking us to Six Flags.
Wait, yeah, you're 19. You told me earlier for some reason.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they want kids for some reason.
So you think maybe the Dwargers he's part of the Dwargers or something?
I don't know. I think he's part of... Do you know who Akarat is? How much of this do you know?
as you guys are chatting, we're going to cut over to Bev. Bev.
Okay.
You appear in darkness. It does not look like you're near a Dwarger camp or anything. You don't hear anyone at the moment.
Maz? Erlen?
You hear somebody 10 or 15 feet in front of you. You hear Erlen go, Bev? Bev, is that you?
Erlen, is that... Where are you? I hear your voice.
You see Erlen...
Did we tug on the beard too hard?
You see Erlen holds his hands up. You see he lights a white flame in his hand. He's able to light up his face. And he goes, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Dwargers have some kind of block, but this cave is really dark. Suddenly, you see he's hit with this concussive force.
Erlen!
The light goes out and you see he's he's pulled up. He's yanked up to the ceiling and you hear a crash of metal.
I pull out my sword.
You pull out your sword. It begins to glow white. You see torches start going up all around the room and you see the source of the spell that threw Erlen to the ceiling. You see Maz O'Thul. You see he's now wearing a mask like the grave robbers that were working with Galad and the Chosen. As the torches light all around you, you see that you are in the middle of a large circular stone room. You are surrounded on all sides by chosen knights, archers, and mages from the Grave Robbers. You see, Maz just gives you a little smirk. And a moment later, a figure pushes through the soldiers, Theala, with long golden hair glowing with radiant energy. You can see Erlen struggling up on the ceiling.
You know what you're doing isn't right. You know it deep down. This isn't the way. How could this be? Look at him! Look what you're doing!
What choice did I have, Beverly? I wanted to work with you.
There's always a choice. There's always a better choice.
You had a choice. You made your choice, Beverly Togold. Now you're going to help me, whether you want to or not. And that's where we'll end our session.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh, no.
God damn
my boys!
So it's not Six Flags.
No, it's the worst place you could be.
Oh, no. Oh, wow. Oh, goodness.
We should have sniffed Mass to see if he smelled like sour milk.
We forgot to sniff people.
We gotta sniff everyone.
You gotta remember to sniff more people.
Sweet, guys. Follow us on Patreon. Patreon.com/NADPOD. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing
we
yet.
We are... Fuck.
You messed up.
Right? Got you.
How many episodes have we done?
You messed up.
Oh, how many?
So you can listen to our short rest after show. We can theorize on what's going on with Bev here. Then, guys, Zach Oyama, what do you got to plug?
I guess same as last time. We got Dimension 20 on Twitch. And then I have my own Twitch at Zach Oyama.
So. Right on. Apple, what do you got?
Dimension 20. I'm also on. Watch Rick and Morty. More episodes coming out at some point. Unknown. And, you know, read a book.
Yeah.
Oh.
Any book.
Any book.
I want to ask that you don't read a book. Oh, shit.
Take that book. Tear it up.
Tear it up.
Go to the library. Tear those books up.
I'll play.
Tell them Maverick sent you.
I'll play a visual novel to appease you both.
Perfect. Sweet, guys. Follow us on Twitter at CHMurph is me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Vorny Tom is Siobhan, at Eaxford is Emily, at Zach Oyama is Zach Oyama, and of course, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake Hurwitz. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are. Youth of a nation, we are. Youth of a
nation. Hello, friends. Caldwell here. It is the end of our show, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. Let's get right to it. Brad D., Dylan B., Danny P., Steelbreaker, and Spencer Caskbrew. Five chosen wizards who Theala has tasked with creating a conceal sour milk spell. Luckily, they've had little to no success. Beardman Dan, Adam R., Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Alucard, and Michelle O. Antique collectors who each own one of Akarot's mini phylacteries. None have been tempted to use them, however, because it would greatly hurt the resale value of the gems. Haldor Frostback, Jordan DJ, Jeffrey S., Cutter W., and Andrew M. Five people who will betray the Band of Boobs at one point or another. We don't know when or how, but at some point in the future, Haldor, Jordan, Jeffrey, Cutter, and Andrew will all independently gain the Boobs' trust, then attempt to thwart them at the most inconvenient time possible. Probably with poison. Truly brutal. Schubert the Mushroom, Elena C., Mixologist Michael McD, Balnor's Boy, and Maddie Big Crits. A squad of elite water nymphs that actually live in Derlin and Cran's jacuzzi. They agreed to fight for Bohemia if Derlin and Cran agreed to start washing their nasty hobbit feet before getting in the tub. Justin I., Jacob C., Elena M., Jostrich, and Dana G. A group of Spring Eladrin scouts that are literal green teens. Legends say that their jamborees have never been canceled, and also that someone totally got a hand job at one a couple of years back. Amazing. Damiel R., Destin C., Jibe G., Earl and Kathleen L., and Crow of Omen. A family of orcs who had just installed solar panels on their home in Asmodia the day before Gladeholm teleported on top of it. Fortunately, Akarot offered to cover their electric bill if they joined his army. Maybe not the greatest trick the devil has ever pulled, but still, super effective. Sergio, Salazar, Solomon, Zacharias de Sequani, Michael L., Trele the Crayfay, Jory S., and Michael K.M., the dwarven architects who designed Irondeep's minecart rail system. They even installed a special sign that says, "Don't forget to duck, hard won Surefoot," after the 30th time he cracked his head on a tunnel. Adam H., Ryan, Aaron G., Jake L., and Zach C., a group of green teens that Theala tried to kidnap instead of Bev, but they kept skipping and touching hands and talking about being in a bag so much that the Chosen said they were too annoying to keep around. Fair enough. Big Buck, Richard X Machina, Sam L., Troy McSee, and Gage M., a group of Gladeholm high elves who were so mad to be teleported to Asmodia, they went into a rage and finally discovered the barbarians that were inside them all along. Congrats, y'all! Dom R., Josh S., Nicholas C., Austin C., and Kristen P., the brave warriors the Jubilux ate before they had the fight, so that it was actually kind of full and ate less people. Truly a noble sacrifice. Mike H., Matthew E., Samuel B., and Okada. The gnomes who bravely defended Cobb, Yegwene, Mavris, Bev, and Erlin from the Jubilux. Somehow Murph conveniently forgot to mention them. We're sick of your revisionist history, Murphy. Get it together. Aaron C., TJM, the gnome barbarian, Trask the Traveler, and Robert F., a group of Cataclysm tourists who use teleport to take selfies with both the Tarrasque and the Jubilix. Dangerous, but thrilling. Anime Intellect, Zolo Dolo, Nick B., and Amberl T., the motivated citizens behind Trues, the coalition to reveal the truth about oozes and slimes. Sure, monsters like the Jubilix give them a bad name, but there's a lot of very charitable and gentle oozes out there too. Speak truth to ooze, you guys. Colton B., Jay, Cece Lulu, Aiden RH, and Blitzbrig Dimitri, a team of giant spies. Stealth doesn't come naturally to them, but with the right lighting and a great roll, you'd swear it was just a halfling breaking into your house and going through your stuff. I'm Hopeless, Timmy R., Alex M., Aaron Sully, and Eric G., a band of bards who travel the land singing songs of the legendary hero Mavris, a tiefling who beat Uzich and plagiarized a Tony Awards speech. Truly a hero and legend of our time. Lucas B., Jordan L., Talith X., Mateo C., and Pup Thoth, a group of Irondeep knights who were consumed by the Jubilix and kept Red company while he was in there. They all got a solid round of Uno in before they were unceremoniously destroyed by acid. Austin M.R., Kaylee Elise, Barnzenator, and Mick Pucks, a crew of Frostwind comedy nerds who find the berry joke juvenile and unoriginal. They're currently punching up some fresh berry takes to submit to King Coldane by the end of the battle. Good luck with that, folks. Devin W., Shinoa B., Jared E., Persephone, and Eric McD., the dwarfins who helped rig the explosion that almost killed Mavris. They had no idea they were part of an evil plot, they just really wanted to blow up that dwarfinage and decided to go along with it. Reese N.S., Eric and Andrea B., Charo Arcadius, and Jay Parker, a bunch of Eladrin who don't know how to read, so they never saw the Fae This Way sign. They've just been running full speed at random trees and hoping for the best. Stephen C., Maxwell C., Mike K., Omri M., and Callum L., an elite squad of orcs who are brutal at razzing. These orcs love to rib each other and take no prisoners with their goofs. They do, however, take prisoners with their swords so that they can torture them for information. Smart. Scott D., No Thor the Prodigy Ranger, Mikonji, and Dan, the mixologist who crafted Egwene's potions that she's currently using to blow up enemies. They have really opened themselves up to some lawsuits, and Pawpaw is taking notes. Richard C., Karen T., Curtis S., Michael C., and BJL, Eladrin of the Feywild who have officially decided that they are moving into the Gladeholm Water Park. It's the most impressive body of water they've seen since the Bear Prince's hot tub. Can't blame them. Nikki W., Andrew B., Christopher B., Barrison Kin of the Wizard's Tower, and Nicholas P. A group of Frostwind Dwarfins who scared away an undead giant by pantsing him, tabletopping him, and finally just relentlessly teasing him until he ran back into the tundra. Merciless. I love it. Kevin M., Angel B., Rahul N., I Am the Atlas, Mary Bell the Kitty Morphing Gnome, and Esme M. Kinku Monks with a Street Show. These noble folks earn about 20 gold a weekend breaking stuff with their beaks on the Hill Home Boardwalk. Mama Togold is their number one fan. And why wouldn't she be? That sounds delightful. Jens Christian T., Joe McGee, Meta Amps, Atticus C., Tom S., and Casimir the All-Knowing. Some super sturdy dwarfs who got sucked into the Jubilix but couldn't be disintegrated. They actually opted to stay because they thought it was so funny to pretend to be frozen like they were stuck in a jello mold. Dwarf humor is weird. Luke H., Kelvin Noodles, Grace G., P. Diddy 985, and Lance. A family of skeletal mice that Erden's cat chases all around Gladeholm. Their hilarious hijinks is an inspiration and an escape to us all during this bleak period filled with war and death. And that is all the shoutouts we have. Thank you all so, so much for listening and supporting our show. We love you all, and we will see you next week. Farewell.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.